Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio, where we bring you information about Minnesota's National Guard, the military community, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Program, and Department of Veterans Affairs. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force and a member of the VFW and American Legion. Now, here's Tom Lyons.
Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll learn about the upcoming Military Appreciation Day at the State Fair. But first, while we honor all those who have died, there are a few of our fallen that serve not only our nation, but also serve as a true inspiration for us all. Lieutenant Colonel Mark Weber was one of them. His perseverance pushed what was to be a two-month-long losing battle with cancer to become a nearly three-year-long lesson on how we can and should live our lives. During the second half of today's show, we'll remember a great American soldier, husband, father, and friend. But now it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
Since its birth on June 14, 1775, over a year before the Declaration of Independence, the United States Army has played a vital role in the growth and development of our nation. For 238 years, the Army has been at the forefront of defending our country's freedom. It all started in the spring of 1775, as colonial troops were about to confront British troops near Boston, Massachusetts. Recognizing the need to enlist the support of all of the American seaboard colonies, the Massachusetts Provincial Congress appealed to the Second Continental Congress in Philadelphia to assume authority for the New England Army. Congress voted to adopt the Boston troops and resolved to form a committee to bring in a draft of rules and regulations for the government of the Army. When George Washington received his appointment as Commander-in-Chief of the Continental Army and took command on July 3, 1775, there was no way he could have imagined what the Army would become. Soldiers have fought our wars, the American Revolution, the War of 1812, the Mexican-American War, the Civil War, the Spanish-American War, World Wars I and II, the Korean War, and the Vietnam War, along with the Gulf War, the Iraq War, and Afghanistan. And today's soldiers stand ready around the world. The Army's birthday is a recognition of our history, traditions, and service to the nation. It's also a day for us to imagine what it will grow into over the next 238 years.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Military Appreciation Day at the Minnesota State Fair is an opportunity to educate fair visitors about the military community in Minnesota and military support organizations in Minnesota. The day will also pay respect to members of the military and their families, and with a welcome home celebration for Vietnam-era veterans, concerts by country artist Rocky Lynn, and discounted tickets for all veterans. Here now to talk to us about the Military Appreciation Day at the Minnesota State Fair is Jerry Hammer, who is the General Manager of the State Fair, and Second Lieutenant Melanie Nelson from the Minnesota National Guard. Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, thanks Tom.
Very much.
Jerry, I understand you were born near the fair, and it's been part of your adult life, your whole life.
Well, when you grow up about a half a block away and refuse to leave, it's just sort of it's a natural progression of things. But I did grow up in Como Park neighborhood, very close to the fairgrounds, and started working there as a high school kid. I went to Creighton High School and St. Thomas College, and during those summers, I worked on the greenhouse crew at the fair. And then when I got out of college, I started, very briefly, I was at a newspaper in Owatonna for a little less than a year, but then returned to the fair on the full-time staff and worked through a variety of marketing and events positions to the GM spot. And I've been there now 18 years, which is hard to believe.
Time flies, doesn't it?
It sure does, especially when you're having fun.
So you count your life in state fair to state fair to state fair.
You kind of do. There's certain things you do at particular times a year. And I do really remember things more according to what happened, like during a particular fair, than anything else. But when you realize how quickly fairs go, that each one of those represents a year, that's really something. But I got to say, it's just been such a great opportunity to be associated with an event that's so important to so many people, that's so historic, that's so that's such a part of Minnesota's fabric. And I couldn't think of a better place to be or a better thing to do.
Most Minnesotans look forward to the annual event coming up to the State Fair each year. I would guess that when the fair ended last year, you had some meetings to wrap things up and make notes for this year, and then you started working on this year right away.
We do. Actually, there are some things, you know, depending on the nature of the project or if it's an event or something, that we think about more than a year or two or even three ahead. It depends on if it's a project, for instance. It might be, you know, some sort of improvement to the grounds. It might be years in developing. But as far as you have plans for the coming fair, you have, a lot of them are made after the most recent fair, but there are others that are going on even longer.
And it's just a couple, just right around the corner, isn't it?
It is. It's. I think it was snowing a few weeks ago, wasn't it? It felt like it, and now we're here. We're counting down days to the fair already.
Well, we know the winter is over because the construction season is in high season right now. Can't go anywhere without finding some signs. Lieutenant Nelson, welcome back to the show. You haven't been in to see us in the studio for quite a while.
Thank you, Tom. I'm glad to be here.
I understand you've been pretty busy over at the headquarters, and you're also working on, once again, Military Appreciation Day at the State Fair.
Yes, Tom. I'm honored to work with Jerry's folks over at the Minnesota State Fair planning Military Appreciation Day on August 27th.
And Lieutenant Nelson, where did this start? I think, was this been around for how many years now?
This is our third year, and I have been fortunate enough to be involved in the planning with Jerry's crew over at the State Fair for the last 3 years. And it's every year we've taken a little bit different of focus, and every year we've gotten a little bit bigger with what we're bringing in and the education that we have for fairgoers.
Can you tell us, how did it start and how has it evolved?
You know, to be honest, actually, Jerry and I were just sharing this story. The State Fair called up the National Guard a few years back and said, we really want to give something back to our Gold Star families, our families who've lost service members. And so I got them hooked up with how they can reach out and support our Gold Star families. And then we talked a little bit and we said, boy, what if something more could be happening? And the contact at the State Fair said, oh, we have been working on this for a while. Can you help us? And so I went to my leadership and they said, help them. So we've been planning this day now. This will be our third total day that we move in all kinds of booths, educational opportunities, and events for one day at the fair.
Jerry, what's your typical attendance at the fair during the 2 weeks that you're open? Over a million?
Yeah, it's very close to 2 million, and we don't count everybody. We just count the tickets for people who either pay regular admission or discounted or something, but they're for like free kids and their employees and all that aren't part of that overall total. But it is, it's very close to 2 million in 12 days.
Probably no way of knowing, but a lot of those are veterans from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, all the wars.
Oh, many are, for sure. That's why this day has become so special. There are a lot of people that I've known for many years and was never really aware of their service until we did something like this. And then you see things, then you start to hear more, and you start to see things happening, and you see old photos come out. And it's been so great as a means of just uniting people from generations.
Jerry, this apparently came from your discussions with Lieutenant Nelson. Are you happy with it? Is it evolving well?
Oh, I think it's terrific. All it's going to do is get bigger and better. As Lieutenant Nelson said, you know, the start was, that was one of those things that was, you know, we'd been talking about for years before actually doing it. We wanted to do something, but we weren't sure exactly what, and we weren't sure exactly how, but it's something you want to do right, and you want to do it as best as you can. So in just 3 years, it's already grown quite a bit, and you know, each individual fair is made up of moments, and you don't know what they're going to be, and you don't know when they're going to happen. You just know that they will. And for me, the most striking moment last year was on Military Appreciation Day, when returning vets from Iraq and Afghanistan gathered at the band shell on the eastern edge of the fairgrounds and marched down to Carousel Park in front of the grandstand. And to see how the people at the fair that day, this spontaneous reaction, how the cheers started at the band shell and just continued to grow as the vets moved, well, out of active as well, as the parade moved down towards the grandstand to hear the reaction and see how deeply moved everybody was, including the vets, and there really weren't a whole lot of dry eyes. Now, we knew that was going to be special, but I don't think anybody anticipated just how great that moment would be.
We have to take a short break. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about this year's Military Appreciation Day at the fair. We've been speaking with Jerry Hammer, the general manager of the Minnesota State Fair, and Second Lieutenant Melody Nelson from the Minnesota National Guard about Military Appreciation Day at the State Fair. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking to Jerry Hammer, the GM of the Minnesota State Fair, and Second Lieutenant Melody Nelson for the Minnesota National Guard about Military Appreciation Day at the fair. We're going to come back and tell you all about what's going on that day. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shelleteau.
Fishing season is officially here, and the first annual Hero at Home Walleye Bass Fishing Tournament will be held at Horseshoe Bay Resort on Leech Lake, June 29th and 30th. On Saturday, participants will have a chance to take a veteran out for a fun day of fishing, followed by dinner and a silent auction. The tournament itself will take place on Sunday. Participation in this tournament will not only support our veterans, it will also provide scholarships for veterans and their families. The Daniel Drevnik Memorial Fund was established in honor and memory of Daniel Drevnik, so his legacy lives on. The scholarship fund actively supports Minnesota military members, their spouses, and children through the availability of financial scholarship assistance. The Memorial Fund promotes the values of freedom, opportunity, responsibility, compassion, and morality. To sign up for the tournament and to learn more, visit heroathome.org. Veterans that want to fish for fun on Saturday can also find information on the website. Happy fishing to all.
Thank you, Commissioner Shelleteau. For more information, please go to minnesotamilitaryradio.com. And now back to the Minnesota State Fair. Lieutenant Nelson, you were kind of jumping out of your seat there when Jerry was describing the parade and all the noise and the crescendo. Are you going to have another parade this year? And tell us about this year's Military Appreciation Day at the fair.
Well, Tom, Jerry told the story so beautifully moments ago about last year's welcome home for our current service members who have served. And I tell you what, this year is going to be something. We have gone out of our way to thank and invite Vietnam veterans, and the invitation is still there. We want to see hundreds of Vietnam-era veterans march that same parade route that our recently returned veterans did last year at the fair. And if you can just envision with me for a moment, we have a sponsor who's brought in, we'll be bringing in 10,000 bandanas, and we will deploy seven different little groups of people along the five-block parade route moments before the parade goes to hand out these bandanas. And so as hundreds of Vietnam-era veterans march down these five blocks past the grandstand of the Minnesota State Fair, the people on the sidelines will be waving the bandanas, thanking them for their service. And I just can't even wait until this unfolds. And of course, the parade will end in Carousel Park, where we'll have a program thanking them for their service, thanking their families for everything they've done to support them back then and now still today. So we're very, very excited about that moment. Of course, there are some other moments too, but that parade is going to be something this year.
Lieutenant Nelson, do you have these visions every day?
You know, this one, I can see it perfectly in my head. I can see it because it was so magical last year. And we do need people to come out. We do need marches to march. We have hundreds of veterans, Vietnam-era veterans, who have already registered on our website to take part in the parade. We have room for hundreds more, and it's going to be really exciting.
I'm looking at the brochure, and it says, calling all Vietnam veterans. So yes. All of my buddies from Vietnam veterans, get a hold of, go to the Minnesota State Fair, mnstatefair.org, and look up the Military Appreciation Day of the Fair, which is Tuesday, August 27th. Lieutenant Nelson wants you all out there marching in a parade so that she can achieve her vision.
Well, yes, and Jerry's crew over there at the State Fair, they're so great. We've set up an online website where the Vietnam veterans can actually register. And if I may, it's vietnamveterans.eventbrite.com. Eventbrite is B-R-I-T-E.com. And when they register their information there, the crew at the State Fair is going to be sending them 4 free entrance tickets so they can come out with their family and volunteer their time in that parade.
So once again, that's Tuesday, August 27th. And if you go to that website or go to the mnstatefair.org, you can get to the website.
Yes.
Get some free tickets to go to the State Fair. That's the day to go for our Vietnam veterans, isn't it, Jerry?
It'll be the best day. They're all good, but Tuesday the 27th will be the best.
Lieutenant Nelson, you must have a whole list of activities that day. Can you fill us in on what's going to happen at the State Fair Tuesday the 27th?
Jerry, there's a Vietnam veteran at the memorial. Is there? I think there's a ceremony first thing in the morning, isn't there?
We've done. I got to back up just a little bit on that. In 2005, we established a veterans garden on the fairgrounds, just on the south side of the agriculture horticulture building. And that was to honor all veterans from Minnesota, regardless of when they served. And included in that garden is a plaque marking every conflict that Minnesota vets have served in, starting with the Civil War through Vietnam. And we have done a ceremony there every year, and we're planning on that again. And we hope to have the Gold Star moms involved in that for this year, and we're planning and putting that together right now.
Oh, well, that happens, and then people can walk over to the Liney Lodge at 10:25, where the American flag raises for the day on the fairgrounds. And as soon as that flag raises and the 34th Red Bull Infantry Division band begins to play, that's when that parade of Vietnam era veterans begins their 5-block march. They come into Carousel Park, and there's a program there for them, which includes a World War II North American T-6 Texan flyover. They're going to be doing the missing man formation, so we're very excited about that. And then the program concludes with country artist Rocky Lynn. He'll be performing his tribute to the troops again. Also that day, you're going to be out there, Tom. You'll be doing a couple tapings of the Minnesota Military Radio
program. We're going to be at the fair?
You're going to be
at
the fair.
Actually,
yes.
We'll be at the Twin Cities News Talk booth from 12:30 to 3:30, recording 2 shows. So come on over and see us while you're out there visiting, and make good use of those free tickets. Go online, vietnamveterans.eventbrite.com, Tuesday, August 27th. Vietnam veterans, get out there and get in that parade. What else you got going
and
on that
no
day?
Matter what time you go out, from 8 until 4, we are going to be taking the road that's in front of Heritage Square, just north of the where all the rides are, Midway, and the whole road is going to be full of booths, military vehicles, all kinds of educational opportunities for those that are in the military, those veterans looking for resources, and also just those Minnesotans interested in getting involved in maybe the Yellow Ribbon or how they can support veterans within their community. We're expecting close to 70 different booths on that street that day, with tons of giveaways, too.
And all kinds of information to help our veterans. I'll bet you'll have some county veteran service officers out there and people from the VA, and lots of information to help veterans with any issues they might have.
We do, Tom. We do.
Jerry, this is you've been the GM for 18 years at the fair. What are the dates of the fair this year?
August 22nd, it's Thursday, through Labor Day, September 2nd.
Well, we hope we've had plenty of rain this spring, so we hope we have a nice dry end of August, early September.
Well, that'd be nice.
You won't sell any ponchos, though, that way.
And especially on Tuesday, August 27th, Military Appreciation Day at the fair.
Especially.
Melanie, is this, what did you say? This is the third
one, Tom. And, you know, we've had good weather the first 2 Military Appreciation Days, so I am counting on good weather this August 27th.
And I remember last year we were out there that day, and there were... Everybody was out there. You had the adjutant general out there. The commissioner was out there. If veterans want to come and have a nice day at the fair, need some of that good food and drink some milk over at that place. Come on out, get your free tickets, and you can get any of your answers, any answers you need about any issues you might have, can't they?
You know, and Tom, one of the neatest thing about doing this and having all these events and saying thank you to our Vietnam era veterans, it's really an opportunity to catch up with old people that you've served with, to make new friends of those who understand what it's like
Lieutenant
to be
Nelson, why were you looking at me when you said old, catch up with old people you served with?
Old friends, Tom. But it's really nice when we can create this environment and get our veterans close together. It really provides an opportunity for discussion and sharing, and it's just fun. It's a lot
Jerry,
of fun.
We've got about a minute left. Any final thoughts for our listeners about Military Appreciation Day at the Great Minnesota State Fair?
Well, we sure hope you can make it on a Military Appreciation Day. If you can't, there's still plenty of activity on other days. All five branches have exhibits at the fair, and the Marine Corps one in particular is they travel around the country with that, and they say by far they have more participation, more interest, just more of everything here at the Minnesota State Fair than any place else. But they're all there. The Veterans Garden is something to see any day of the fair, and we're so happy to have gotten this off the ground, and we're getting it right. And thanks so much to Lieutenant Nelson and her team for really making Military Appreciation Day special, and as a result, and the whole fair is that much better.
Jerry, thanks for joining us today. Lieutenant Nelson, just about 10 seconds left. Any final thoughts?
Yes. For every single veteran, no matter when you served, there is a discounted ticket, $7 at the gate. Tell them you're a veteran, and you'll get in for a really, really discounted rate on the 27th. But for those Vietnam veterans, I want you to register by July 31st so we can send you the tickets, and you can be part of my Envision Parade.
And all you Vietnam veterans, get out there and help Lieutenant Nelson have a great, big, loud parade on Military Appreciation Day at the Minnesota State Fair. That was Jerry Hammer, the GM of the Minnesota State Fair, and Second Lieutenant Melanie Nelson from the Minnesota National Guard about the Military Appreciation Day at the State Fair. Please stay with us in a moment. We're going to take the second half of the show and remember a great American soldier, husband, father, and friend. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us.
Hi, this is Bill Popp of the Minnesota Military Family Foundation. An Army squad is made up of 8 soldiers, and when the squad is on patrol, each soldier is dependent on each other for safety. When a soldier is distracted because of a financial crisis with the family back home, that puts every soldier on the squad at risk. The Minnesota Military Family Foundation helps turn a bad situation into a positive one. The foundation provides financial support during a financial crisis at home. This helps re-energize the soldier. The soldier feels the financial burden lifted and has feelings of pride because of the support from the community at home. When the soldier is no longer focused on the financial crisis at home, the soldier is able to stay engaged in the mission and do his duty to protect other soldiers in the squad. When we help one soldier, we're helping all soldiers. When we help one military family, we're helping all military families. If you're in a position to help, please donate. Go to MinnesotaMilitaryFamilyFoundation.org.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. Over the course of the last year, we've had the pleasure to meet a gentleman named Lieutenant Colonel Mark Weber, who unfortunately died on June 13th, 2013, just after 4 p.m. He was a service member. He was a husband, a father, and a fast friend. And the way he lived his life was amazing. And the way he went through adversity at the end of his life was something that we can all learn from. So today we'd like to reintroduce you to Colonel Mark Weber and hear some stories about him in his own words.
Well, I've been in a military uniform since I was age 14. I went to Creighton High School, and then I enlisted right out of high school in the Minnesota National Guard. And I did that for about 4.5 years while I went to college. And that was a great experience. I was a military policeman right there in downtown St. Paul. After I graduated from Minnesota State down at Mankato, I took a regular Army commission, married my wife actually 2 days before we went on to active duty, and we ended up serving in Virginia, Alabama, and that was a lot of fun, being a Minnesotan in Alabama, stationed in Alabama. That was quite a treat. And then we served in Missouri, and then back to Washington, D.C., where I served in the Pentagon or the Pentagon area for about 4 years, because I was deployed out of that area.
Took command of a company of 182
one of the largest MP companies in the Army, one of the three largest. My 4 years in high school and my 4 years in college and my 4 years as an enlisted soldier really did put me, objectively, they put me at a step ahead when it came time to serve as a lieutenant. I mean, you're still young and naive as an officer. That's your first day as an officer. And I mean, in all seriousness, I want to be honest about what brought me to military service. It wasn't all duty, honor, country. I mean, that was a big part of it. But at least half of it was also the financial security that I knew that would come from being a soldier. Deployment after deployment, there was four different deployments we supported during that time with twins who were colic, by the way. No one truly liked having me as a subordinate. But when I was gone, they wanted me back. Without bragging, the job got done to standard. Part of the thing that I like about most of the accolades that I've received in my career have been that they're double-edged. Once we gave you an order, once you decided on something, there was little that we could do to change your trajectory. But by God, you know, we could use some of that right now. General Petraeus was looking, he was three-star general at the time. He was looking for someone to work as the liaison or the military assistant to the Iraqi chief of defense. Essentially the same person that General Myers is by position, you know, at the time. And he was looking for an Army major. And there's only so many Army majors on the personal staff of the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. So our files went in, and long story short, he picked mine. I mean, I said, this is a major's job. I'm not trying to be modest, sir. I'm not qualified to be this person, this job. This person's going to be interacting with colonels and majors, and I'm a no-time-and-grade captain. I just got promoted to captain. That matters. That's real in the military culture. And I didn't realize it at the time, but I was only digging my grave with this guy. I mean, I was selling myself without realizing I was selling myself. He said, that's what I want. That's exactly what I want. I didn't really have a clear idea of what I was going to be doing until I got to Iraq. Within 3 months, General Petraeus came back to me and said, you know, I was going to put a full colonel in there and another officer to work as a team, but Babacar likes you so much and you're doing the job, I'm not going to put anyone else in there. It was a total immersion in the culture, and I just dove headlong into it. I mean, really, overall, what I realize is that these people are really not too unlike us. They're on the other side of the globe. They speak a different language. They write from right to left instead of left to right. Their words are scribbly things, you know, that are based on phonetics rather than Latin letters. I mean, really, in every possible way, they're the opposite of the Western world. And yet, the underlying humanity is there. The things that we all strive for in life are there. And that was the wake-up call for me. Being told that this is a job for three people, and by God, you're so good, we're just going to use you, is, if you think about it for a second, it's not flattery. It may sound cool, but you're going to be doing a lot of extra work.
This is Minnesota Military Radio. We're remembering Lieutenant Colonel Mark Weber, who had a promising career interrupted in the United States Army that was shortened by the diagnosis of fourth-stage cancer, which he nicknamed Buford. And as you'll learn throughout this segment and the fourth segment of the show today, he faced this. He was really a study in resilience. He focused on what he had, not what he didn't have, and he approached life full of vigor every day. Let's continue.
I had been asked by General Petraeus to join his team in Afghanistan and started to go through the medical process. I'd been cleared for deployment, and within 2 weeks, I insisted on having a closer look. They found that I had stage 4 intestinal cancer. So I don't like to say my career came to an abrupt end. It actually just hit a skip, because I went back to work 5 months later with the cancer actually still growing in me. You know, I personified the cancer and all of the stuff that was going on with me as a way of being able to communicate with other people. So it was much easier to refer to him as Buford in all the good and bad, because Buford has brought some good things to my life too. As we say in the Army, he's given me opportunities to excel.
I kept beating these prognoses, you know, you got 4 months to live. And I beat the 4 months, and now what? Well, I'll go back to work. And so I decided to go back to work. And while I was at work, maybe 6 months, you know, from what we know, we've known people who have survived for 10 years. But in your condition, we don't know many people who have lived beyond 6 months. So I thought, okay, I got 6 months. So in that time, I started putting my journal stuff together. 18 months after working with the Minnesota National Guard, I was put on full medical leave, and I decided, all right, let's turn this into a book.
I framed the book in 9 morals, and maybe even calling them morals is too strong of a word, but I'm very careful at the beginning to tell them that this is not advice. It may sound like advice, but this is really about just giving them my perspective. And I am one person's perspective. I happen to be their father, and I hope I live a little bit longer so that I can share more of who I am in person. But this is the next best thing. It's my side of the conversation for when I'm gone. This is not a book about dying. I cringe when I look at the Amazon listing and I see, you know, number 11 in grief and dying. No, it's a book about living. You know, I don't want my kids to dread picking this thing up. So, you know, it's not entirely light, but it's balanced.
Lieutenant Colonel Weber wrote an incredible book called Tell My Sons. We'll have a link to the place where you can purchase that book on our Facebook page. It's a great read, and it's some thoughts that he shared with his son, knowing that he wasn't going to be there for him at some point in the future. This is Minnesota Military Radio. When we come back, we'll learn more about all the things that he did in the final 3 years of his life. Please stay with us. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In the second half of today's show, we're remembering Lieutenant Colonel Mark Weber, whom we became fast friends with over several visits on this show over the course of the past year. He died on June 13th, 2013, but he persevered and pushed what was to be a 2-month-long losing battle with cancer to become a nearly 3-year-long lesson on how we can and should live our lives. Since the time he was diagnosed with cancer, he did more than a lot of people do in a lifetime. He gave a speech at the Army's 237th birthday. He sang a song with his son. He wrote a book to his sons so that they could have some piece of him with them throughout their lives. He traveled back to Iraq. He gave many speeches. He was on the television. He was on the radio. He was an incredible man. So let's listen to more from Lieutenant Colonel Mark Weber about his life.
Not knowing until he sang was powerful. We get there, and I look at the program, and I see that he's going to sing a song called Tell My Father. Kristen had no idea what it was. I didn't. I thought, this is interesting. And the moment he started singing, it was clear that it was a song about a Civil War soldier. And he's dying, and he wants to send a message to his father. And the message is that he never gave up. He did their name proud. He didn't surrender. He did his absolute best. And then he realized that you are judged by what you do in life. And I mean, it was like someone had me by the throat. I was just heaving in tears. I could not stop crying. It was one of the most powerful moments of my life. I wanted desperately to believe, as the song continued, that he understood the depth of meaning. I'm a Civil War nut, doing my name proud and not surrendering. Like, he's an introvert. He doesn't communicate a lot with me on this stuff with cancer. And so this was all new to me. The whole thing was just overwhelming. 2 weeks prior to that speech, I had found out that I'd failed my second chemo trial, and things were looking, at the time, they were looking very dire. I mean, I knew what that meant. Maybe another 6-month prognosis. And certainly my last, like, I was put on full medical leave immediately from my full-time job with the Army. So my career was over at that point. And I thought of that song. And I thought, I wonder if Matthew would, knowing that he's an introvert, I wonder if he'd be part of, if he'd join me in this. And when I asked him, he was like elated that I had asked him. Because I really did realize, especially in that moment, that perhaps I had written a check that my butt couldn't cash. I mean, I thought, I have pushed myself too hard. I was very tired. I'd been sick 4 days prior to that, all 4 days. And I gave a pep talk to the crowd, and I said, look, bite your tongue, stick a pen in your leg. I don't care, but you better keep it together because, you know, everyone says they want to help. Well, all you can help right now is by keeping it together and being strong for me now, just for a few minutes so that I can get through this song. And they did, and we did. And then, of course, I took my glasses off, so I couldn't see them. And wow. Some wonderful pictures, some images from that event that just, I know that my boys will treasure. I know Matthew will treasure. I certainly do. These long looks that tell all of us how we're interconnected, things that I didn't notice in the moment. My first year, I was really tore up still from the surgery. And last year, I had a feeding tube. And this year, it just, things were working out. So I was like, this is it. My health has been deteriorating. I know I sound healthy, but, you know, this is terminal.
This is Minnesota Military Radio. We're listening to excerpts from recordings with Lieutenant Colonel Mark Weber about the lessons that he wants to share with us on how to live your life. Let's continue.
Irony of ironies, my cancer's in my liver, and General Zabari's younger brother, Ghazi, is a transplant surgeon in the U.S., one of the best, in fact, in the country. And he was leading a medical mission humanitarian team to Iraq. And so I said, hey, best way to mitigate the risks associated with my condition is to hang out with you if I can. And so he invited me to join him on my trip to go with him to visit his brother. And it was just perfect. I was doing medical stuff with the medical mission team. We went out to a refugee camp. I saw the first ever liver transplant in the region. Ghazi and the other medical members of the team said, we're going to help you make this happen. The mission continues is an organization that caters to veterans who are transitioning from uniform into civilian life. And they do that in one and only one way, by offering fellowships. And those fellowships are 6 months long, approximately 20 volunteer hours per week. The mission continues. Now, whether you're a veteran transitioning into civilian world or you're going through some hardship like I am where you're facing death, your mission continues. Like, I'm sorry that this hardship has happened, but what are you going to do about it? That's the question. 2 months ago, I decided, you know what? I ought to get in the trenches with these guys. I ought to just do it. And they're like, but you have terminal cancer. I mean, you probably, and this is not an exaggeration, you might not last this, the full 6 months. Well, we'll cross that bridge when we get there, you know. So I'll do what I can do for as long as I can. But the message in my book, the message behind my fellowship, the message behind everything that I've done is, instead of focusing on what you're going to lose or what you don't have, focus instead on what you do have, the options you have, the life that you have, the options that you've been given. And work with that. And you may be disappointed if you fail, but, you know, you're damned if you don't at least try. Just try. Just try a couple of steps and see where it gets you. And maybe it won't work, but at least you tried. If you can serve in the armed forces, I think it's one of the noblest professions that you can join. You are serving something bigger than yourself, much bigger than yourself. And that comes into stark focus when you're deployed overseas on behalf of the United States. For whatever reason we get sent there, we don't get to pick the wars we get sent to. And so I encourage my own kids. I would love it if you served in uniform, but I want you to serve your country. I want you to serve something bigger than yourself. At least give something back to this country for the gifts that you've been given in this life. Life is unfair. We've all heard that. What do you do when life doesn't go the way that you want it to? And to be more specific, what are you going to do about the options that you've been given? Not the options that you haven't been given. To focus not on what you're going to lose or what you don't have or what's been lost, but to focus instead on what you have and what you can do about what you have. There's power in that. There's hopelessness in the other one. But there's nothing but hope in focusing on what you have. And that's how you find joy. That's how you find happiness. I firmly believe that most of the misery in life comes from mulling over options that you've not been given. And that doesn't mean give up or stop trying. You may come back and revisit something that you failed at many times, but now the conditions have changed, so you try again.
The book that Colonel Weber wrote is called Tell My Sons. And from the epilogue in the book, he was asked the question, what is it like to die in slow motion, to actually see your own death approaching? His answers, speaking for himself, it sucks, it's beautiful, it's terrifying, it's pure torture, it's pure joy. And it feels a little irresponsible because he knew he was going to leave his family for something he knew was better. If you believe that life owes us nothing and we owe it everything, that life is about the fullest possible experience of the ride, good and bad, and that death is part of life, then there's a strange peace and comforting resolution to seeing it all unfold in front of you, even if it's as it scares the hell out of you and you know you're leaving your family in a lurch. Lieutenant Colonel Mark Weber, our friend, will be missed but not forgotten. Remember his words, focused on what you have, not what you'd like. And remember that he taught us how to live, and he taught us how to die on his own terms. We're going to leave you now and hope that you can make a difference in someone's life this week, just as Colonel Weber made in his last years, with the song that Lieutenant Colonel Mark Weber and his son Matthew sang at the 237th birthday of the U.S. Army. It's called Tell My Father.
Tell my father that his son didn't run or surrender, that I bore his name with pride as I tried to remember. You are judged by what you do while passing through. As I rest in fields of green, let him lean on my shoulder. Tell him how I spent my youth, so the truth could grow older. Tell my father when you can, I was a man. Tell him we will meet again, where the angels learn to fly. Tell him we will meet as men, for with honor did I die. Tell him how I wore the blue, proud and true through the fire. Tell my father so he'll know I love him so. Tell him how I wore the blue, proud and true, like he taught me. Tell my father not to cry and say goodbye.
You've been listening to Minnesota Military Radio with Tom Lyons. Tom is the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition firm. This has been a production of Clear Channel, MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com, the Minnesota National Guard, BeyondTheYellowRibbon.org, and the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Podcasts of the show are available at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.